Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Paul Marchand, a senior risk management analyst with Hams Marketing Services. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Canada's pork producers have been following the ongoing trade situation amid continuing threats of tariffs and potential trade disruptions involving the United States and its trading partners. At this stage, how have discussions related to trade impacted the Canadian pork sector, especially in Western Canada, and what have been the primary factors?
Well, luckily for us, the tariff threat has seemed to be abated, I guess you could call it, from the initial or the NAFTA 2.0, which is renamed USMCA or CUSMA in Canada. So after the threats and the tariff threats had initially gone into force between, I guess, in the earlier part of the year, between, you're going to say, late January and about May or so, you saw once the market had kind of oscillated a bit, there was heavy selling by managed money to get out of some of their positions. And that just generally reflected in pressure on the futures markets. But then when, you know, folks realized that, well, wait a minute, we have a trade agreement in place, and that the announcement was then amended to say that goods that were covered under USMCA would not be impacted, pork is one of them, the whole industry just got a little bit more optimistic and has been in a steady upward trend since about the middle of April. So again, when we're talking about Canadian pricing, we have to remember where those prices are derived from. And our prices are derived in the USA from the USDA report, daily reports. And in that sense, we would be much more concerned about how someone retaliates on the United States as opposed to if the Trump administration or any administration happened to put a tariff directly on the Canada. Now, to be very clear, it's a larger problem for our packers who have a lot of exposure into the U.S. market, but for a Canadian producer producing a market hog that's going to be processed in a Canadian plant, that price is derived in the U.S. So kind of a two-tiered market here in the sense that packers would be very concerned about a tariff on Canadian pork, but Canadian producers aren't really exposed to the same degree unless we saw a retaliation from, say, China or Mexico. And then in that case, that potentially, if there was some demand destruction, would result in price pressure for Canadian producers. And so far, we haven't had any real meaningful retaliation other than a brief spat with China. And today, no significant trade dispute has disrupted the pork trade in Canada, or at least for pig prices.
Have we seen any effect from the ongoing discussions on the movement of live hogs or the patterns of movement into the United States or the movement of pork between the two countries or on values?
I really don't follow the pork trade all that closely, which sounds a little odd. But again, it's because the producers that I represent are mostly impacted by the prices that they're going to be receiving from that packer. That's where my focus mainly is. Now, I can tell you anecdotally that there has been some movement of Eastern Canadian hogs in the States and a little bit more than usual, and that has been due to the plant closures in Quebec. So the Ontario and Quebec hog and pork industry was fairly more integrated, and lots of Ontario animals had a home in Quebec for processing. And when Quebec started to pull back on their slaughter levels because of the plant closures, some of those animals were now looking for homes. Some of them made it into the U.S. Some of them made it across the Canadian Shield into some of the processor plants out this way. But again, like that, you know, that's more of a logistics issue. And the movement of Ontario or Quebec hogs in Eastern Canada, unless we talk about a really long-term view, isn't really going to impact materially the price of any hog in Western Canada. So, for example, even if you brought a truckload of hogs in from Ontario, for example, and they were being slaughtered in Brandon, for example, that's not going to depress the prices that producers receive in Manitoba, because that the volume of animals doesn't dictate the price in Manitoba, as oddly as it sounds, because those aren't the supply-demand dynamics that a market hog producer is looking at. We're looking at the fundamental relationship that the United States has. And even though there would be technically a couple more hogs going into the States from Ontario into the U.S., because the demand has been so high, those hogs are merely replacing a demand situation where the supply isn't necessarily meeting it, so the prices are still rising. So the cross-border trade of at least live hogs from Eastern Ontario into the U.S. is not impacting the price of a hog in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, or Alberta today.
How have Chinese import tariffs on both Canadian and U.S. pork products altered the movement and value of those products, and how has that affected the value of North American pork products and subsequently values for Canadian hogs, and what are the factors?
Right. So the Chinese experience is something that we can really see the full-throated impact of what a potential tariff or the threat of did happen. And you'll recall that when the Chinese and American tariff rhetoric mini-war, because it didn't last very long, but it ramped up for quite a bit, that saw the application of 145% tariff on U.S. pork, which economists said was economically meaningless. It's a ridiculous sort of number to have been talking about, and clearly that would shut down the trade. But whether or not that was due to price or implications or just general sense of wanting to avoid the U.S. altogether, you can see it show up in the numbers. And so the customs data was released early last week. And for the U.S. Pork volume that typically goes into China from the USA was around 35,000 metric tons per month. And for the month of May, it dropped down to 6,719.9 metric tons. And this is all pork and pork products. So that would consider anything that would be made from the animal, including the variety meats or what's labeled as other. Things of that nature, and whatever small sort of process items that they may take. That's a significant drop. And just to put that in comparison, there used to be a top five trading partner. And so the top five would have been in this order in terms of volume: Mexico, China, Japan, South Korea, and Canada. There's another country that's recently come into our purview, Colombia in South America. And they are doing quite a healthy appetite, and reasonably making inroads in terms of being like a top six trading partner. So we start to aggregate their data too. And the average for Colombia was 11,355 metric tons per month since the beginning of the year. Well, as mentioned, China was down to 6,719, and Colombia took 12,626 metric tons. You can just see that there is a significant drop off in the Chinese market, and actually not accounting for, out of the all top six, they were took in the least amount of volume after jockeying with second place with the rest of the world. So that's, you take the rest of the world minus the top five, China was actually jockeying back and forth for second place. And they dropped down to last out of the top six in May. There's not really a lot of concern that this is going to be an ongoing issue. The weekly report, that report I just mentioned, of course, is lagged by 2 months because it's a customs report that takes all pork and pork products. The weekly report, which is just a primal report and only captures about 60% of that of the total, has seen significant improvements relative to the height of the trade war, which actually saw 1 week in particular, off the top of my head, and I'm not looking at the chart right now, but with zero metric tons. They took absolutely no forward-looking orders at all. Those orders have increased somewhat. Unfortunately, none of these are leading indicators, right? And we can only, you know, the weekly export sales report is also lagged by a week. The the all pork and pork products report, the monthly report, like I said, is lagged by 2 months. So, but you can see it is my point. Like there is a cause and effect for some of this stuff. For North America, so that was, you know, a challenge to deal with getting product into China at the heart of the height of the dispute. But Mexico was relatively unaffected. Rest of the world was kind of clipping along per usual. Japan has been relatively flat. They're getting some competition from Brazil, but that's a story for another day, maybe. South Korea oscillates a little bit more than Japan, but it's more seasonal in nature. They're acting seasonally, and Canada's just been kind of steady eddy for a while, except for the previous month when you saw a lot of Canadian nationalism, and I think retailers and maybe even consumers were driving this, actively avoiding U.S. pork products. But you can see it start to pick back up in the numbers. In any case, it didn't do any really much of anything for Canadian hog price because that net aggregate demand has been fairly strong. And of course, supplies are a little tighter than a year ago. So we're seeing the supply and demand fundamentals kind of balance itself out. Prices are historically high, even for this time of year. And there has been no material impact on a Canadian market hog yet because of a trade war or anything else.
How has Canada's federal government's handling of the situation been so far?
I think they do what they think they have to do, which is to say lots of these battles are fought in the court of public opinion. And by that, I mean social media. I don't know if that's particularly helpful. Yes, we know that faces need to be saved and honor needs to be held and this sort of thing. I'm not sure getting into a Twitter battle or a Truth Social battle with the President of the United States is the wisest thing to do because it just gets everybody else upset too. I like Mexico's lead on it, where they have simply said, if there is something to react to, we will react to it at that time. And I'm of course paraphrasing, but that's been their general approach. And I think our leadership could probably take a page out of that book and maybe have a more less public, I mean, all this information becomes public at some point, but less of a public dispute in that, you know, in real time. We all know that President Trump likes to be out in front and very, not sure if transparent's the word, but he likes people to know what he's doing and put on a brave face and that sort of thing. And that's fine, but I'm not too sure if, you know, when the policy actually comes down to where these sorts of things are actually going to be worked out until that deal is actually signed. And it doesn't matter what deal is ultimately signed because both sides are going to spin it that the, you know, to their favor anyway. So, less public Twitter battles and the gotcha moments and more solutions would be my vote. But when you're dealing with policy that seems to be changing very quickly, it's hard to nail some of that down. So I guess the Canadian negotiators are doing the best they can. Of course, the ones who are doing the real work, we're not going to hear from, right? We'll hear the political spin after the fact, but there are professionals in the public service who are actually trying to negotiate with American public service professionals, and I'm sure are a little tired of all the political theatrics. Let's agree on something. I've always said, you know, put the tariff on or don't put the tariff. Of course, I don't want the tariff on, but you know, markets need certainty, and especially when you're talking about, you know, rules-based settlement mechanisms and this sort of stuff. You have to be able to pin it to something. What's the law? What's the tariff rate? What's the rule? And when the rules change, as they do, it's difficult to have any sort of certainty. But again, luckily, NAFTA, for the most part, CUSMA, has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting for some of these threats and essentially shielding the North American pork sector for now.
When it comes to Canadian federal government response, what are the main concerns of Western Canadian pork producers at this point?
I would say not to shoot ourselves in the foot. Believe it or not, maybe they do understand, but I sometimes see, you know, it's a great day. We're going to support our farmers by tariffing U.S. pork, which doesn't help. We are the third largest trading partner in terms of volume for pork products. And if you start tariffing U.S. pork, that could create some demand destruction, which would actually back up animals and could potentially back up animals in the U.S. It would pressure hog producer prices in Western Canada. So talking tough about tariffs, and if you're directly, you know, target something else if you want to. If you want to protect or support the Western Canadian hog farmer, by Canadian is a massive export market. So if we see any demand backing up on this side, and I'm talking about tariff levied on us by another country, that could be problematic on a throughput side. So it's still not going to do anything for the price side, but on the throughput side, when you're talking about price side, assuming the throughputs are fine and we can get Canada can get a home to the through around the American tariff somehow, now we're talking about what would you like to see the Canadian government do to not protect the hog farmer. I'm all about open markets, but how can you support them during this during this difficult sort of trade negotiation side? And somebody from the federal government call me tomorrow and say, Paul, what should you do? And I'll tell them, do not tariff U.S. pork, point blank, period. It makes no sense to do whatsoever if you're just looking at a fundamental supply and demand relationship. If pork gets backed up in the U.S. for whatever reason, it will pressure the U.S.-based price, which is where we get our prices. So the biggest concern is actually Mexico. Mexico takes around 40% of the total net U.S. export product mix. So it's a huge market. So when President Sheinbaum says she's going to tariff U.S. pork for whatever reason, that's when we should be really nervous, because if the American buyers, you know, who are just going to be annoyed with the tariff war as anybody else, because they want, you know, a reasonable input cost, it establishes relationships probably over years. Now they have an increased cost because of a political dispute. So no one wants it. But if Mexican buyers, for whatever reason, look elsewhere, and Mexican exports to Mexico drop off significantly, you would see probably a fairly quick futures response getting ahead of the expected cash response, which would be in a prolonged tariff war. You would see lowering prices. But yeah, again, to your initial question, to Canadian officials looking to support the Canadian farmer during a tariff talk, do not tariff U.S. pork.
How much room is there actually for optimism moving forward, looking at what's gone on so far, and why?
I think the optimism is just by what you just said, observing what's been happening recently, and that's while the tariffs are constantly being threatened, no significant trade dispute has disrupted the pork trade. So yeah, the tariffs are constantly being threatened, and it's annoying in terms of what's the policy going to be moving forward. It creates a lot of uncertainty, but the threat just appears to be that for now. The threats are made and they're walked back, and oh, we'll give this country an exception, or oh, we're going to, you know, we're negotiating with them, so they're going to get a pass. And that strategy appears to be working for the Americans. I mean, if you believe what you read and hear, apparently there's attracting a whole bunch of trade officials to scramble and get something done so they can continue trading with the United States. Whether that's the reality is an entirely different case. I mean, the two deals that we are aware about right now is the one made with the EU, wouldn't scant on details, and another one with Vietnam, which is equally kind of void of any meaningful sort of documentation that you can look at and see how it operates, even to benchmark against. So the optimism comes from they appear to be threats only to drive this trade deal strategy. Whether or not the trade deals work out will remain to be seen. The CUSMA or USMCA, whatever you want to call it, NAFTA 2.0 appears to be doing quite a bit of the heavy lifting right now, at least for the North American pork trade. That's up for renegotiation in 2026, and my guess is that we're going to see a barrage of tariff threats up to and during the negotiation of that document, which will just prolong this uncertainty in terms of what the tariff rate actually is. But until we get a solid date that says this tariff is actually going into effect on this date and it's going to be in place until this issue is reconciled, I think the market's just kind of fatigued with the whole thing. I mean, literally, there was an announcement over the weekend that the U.S. is going to target more acutely BRICS-aligned countries. And BRICS, for those that don't know, is an economic alliance between, or one that's trying to be developed between Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they're talking about an alternative currency and that sort of thing. And Trump said, well, BRICS-aligned countries are going to be subject to additional tariffs. And then he sent letters to Japan and South Korea that they're going to tariff Japan and South Korea. And if they retaliate, then there's going to be even more tariffs. And at least in the stock market started to take a bit of a hit. I believe the S&P 500 was down about 1%, which is notable. Lean hog futures, steady Eddie, sideways. I mean, the lean hog market just doesn't really care about these announcements on social media. It's waiting to see the rubber actually hit the road. And I hope that rubber is for no tariffs or at least a framework that we can all look at and say that it's ones that are fair.
And is there anything you'd like to add?
I think we're in for more of the same in the next couple of months anyway. Like I said, NAFTA 2.0 will be renegotiated in 2026, USMCA for the Americans, USMA for the Canadians. And I just because this appears to be a common negotiating tactic, if you want to call it that, the threat of tariffs to bring people to the negotiating table, I expect more, not less. And until something actually does happen on the policy front where this threat is turned into a policy that is now in place and can be benchmarked and costed, I don't think markets react all that much. And it's just going to be seasonal pork trade in the meantime, and you know, until it's not. And it won't be if we actually see a prolonged trade war that stems as a result of one of these threats actually going into force.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce. Nice talking with you.
Our guest has been Paul Marchand, a senior risk management analyst with Hams Marketing Services. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.